brothers and sisters, I too should like that you should be free from anxieties. In this letter from Paul, when we hear it, and if we just hear it without understanding the context, this passage could create some anxiety within us. Because at first glance, it might appear that Paul is really kind of anti-marriage. But I'd like to shape the context of what Paul was writing, because at the time, immediately after the death and resurrection of Jesus, everyone, including Paul, was under the impression that the return of Jesus, the second coming, the end of the world, was imminent. So therefore, Paul was taking the stance that it's not really that important for us to marry and to have progeny because the end of the world is coming soon. Here we are, some 2,000 years later, and we're still waiting for the end of the world. Hopefully, we can look at this passage and not understand it as Paul suggesting that marriage is not important, but we can focus more clearly on what Paul was trying to get at. And that is the suggestion that we need to live in propriety and adherence to the Lord. I would suggest to you that what propriety really means is a real authenticity to ourselves. Being authentic means living in the image and likeness of God. Being authentic means being connected, adhering to God. In the dramatic passage in the gospel, we see Jesus entering into the synagogue, the place of worship, a holy place. And it is his very authenticity that empowers him not to have anxiety when someone disrupts the worship. I can't imagine standing up here and having someone stand up shouting and challenging me. That would well up a great deal of anxiety. But for Jesus, it was because he was firm in understanding who he was that he was able to respond to the unclean spirit and drive that spirit away. We have that same call, that same responsibility. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should go around the world driving out unclean spirits from other people. But if we are authentic people, we will work to drive out the unclean spirits that exist in us. What I'm suggesting is that draw or that pull that we have that leads us away from God and focusing only on ourselves, that fundamental selfishness that is a condition of our humanity. That selfishness is our unclean spirit. It's what gets in the way of us being proper. It gets in the way of us adhering to our God. So I'd like to challenge you to think about your own unclean spirits. What is it in you that draws you away from God and focuses only on yourself? And how do you go about discerning what those unclean spirits are? The discernment process is a challenging one because that selfishness that exists in all of us is such a powerful pull that it's easy for us to fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing the right thing. So I would suggest to you that what we really need to do is find other people in our lives, other people who can assist us in being honest with ourselves. And that is a risky proposition. We see how risky that proposition is because Jesus is the model for that. Jesus' ability to remain authentic to himself was affirmed by his relationship with the Father and the Spirit. That notion of Trinity is the same notion of community that we celebrate here today. All of us, when we enter into this place of worship, this holy and sacred place, we come here as individuals, but we worship as one. Together, as a community, we make Christ present in a real way. That is our authentic call. But how difficult it is when we walk out the doors, how easy it is for us to forget our oneness in God. And so when we leave these doors, it's essential for all of us to have spiritual trustees, other human beings who can challenge us and encourage us to adhere to our God. So I ask you to think about who in your life are people who provide that challenge. Paul's reading could help us to be reminded that if we are in a marriage, perhaps the best person to be our spiritual companion is our spouse. If we're not married, how do we find that spiritual companion? It's a challenging task. Because I would also suggest to you that for us to discern the right thing, almost every time, the right thing to do is going to be the harder thing to do. And that makes it even easier for us to fool ourselves if we decide to go through the process of discernment in isolation. So this morning, I challenge you to think about who it is you are discerning your adherence to God with. It can't just be God, because that still leaves an opening for us to fool ourselves. If you think about the idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, each member of the Trinity is a unique individual person. And yet they are so connected that we have one God. So I would suggest to you that in all of our relationships, God has to be a part of that. So that our relationships are Trinitarian. My relationship with my wife is nothing if God is not invited into that relationship. My relationship with you is nothing unless God is invited into that relationship. That is the essence of who we are. When we were created, God purposefully created us, male and female, in order that we could experience a community of love with Him. And so we model the Trinity in marriage. And in that modeling of the Trinity, we become creators. We have children we have progeny. We pass on the faith. We pass on our adherence to God. That is the challenge that all of us face. Whether we're married or not, any relationship that we enter into is one in which we're called to love and to will the good of the other person. That is easily done when God is present in that relationship. So today, as we come forward to receive God in the Eucharist, let us not forget that it is not just me or you as individuals, but us as a community in union and adherence to God that empowers us to love.